The first reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 to 19. This is on page 812 in the Church Bibles. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 12 to 19. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if, in fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men.
Meredith, thank you. Now, maybe you're here today and you're not a regular churchgoer, and you might be wondering, well, how is it that Christians can be so convinced that Jesus was raised? How is it that the first Christians were so convinced that the resurrection really happened? Well, it's because we have first-hand eyewitness accounts of it. And like one we're going to hear from in just a moment by Levi, the tax collector. In all likelihood, that's who wrote this one, or also known as Matthew the disciple. And Derek is going to come and read for us.
We read from the Word of God in the Gospel according to Matthew, the 28th chapter, reading the first 10 verses. In the Church Bibles, page 705. Let us hear the Word of God. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go into Galilee. There they will see me." Thanks be to God.
Lord Jesus, we praise you that when we gather here this afternoon, we're not just remembering a man who once lived 2,000 years ago, but we gather in your presence today because you are alive. And we ask that by your Spirit, as we look at this part of your word together, you would open our eyes to see more of you. Amen. Well, on the Friday, you remember the Romans had nailed Jesus to the cross. Most of his followers ran away, but the women stayed on and watched him die. I don't know if you've ever had someone you love die. It leaves a hole in your heart. Because you used to do things together. You used to laugh about things together. You used to talk about things together. But now you can't. Because they are dead. Jesus had told his followers that he was the Son of God. He said he had to leave them. He had to go and die on a cross. But then he said a very strange thing. He said his death wouldn't be the end. He said his death would mean they could live with him forever. But when he spoke like this, his followers didn't know whether to believe it or not. A Son of God? Death wouldn't be the end? Live with him forever? And Jesus said, to prove it, I will rise from the dead. Watch me. Well, Jesus did some pretty amazing things, didn't he? I mean, he fed the hungry, he healed the sick, he calmed a storm, but rise from the dead? Really? And so we read chapter 28, verse 1. After the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. Sunday morning. What happened just then? There was a lion. There was a lion, yeah? I'm so relieved because I thought it was just me. We all saw a lion run in, did we? It wasn't just me. We all saw. Where did he go? Behind me. Okay, behind me. Right. Look, if you're a visitor here this afternoon, I'm terribly sorry. We don't normally have lions running around loose like that. In fact, it's never happened before. Not quite sure what to do, really. Because I can't just carry on with my talk, because there is a lion hiding behind the curtain, and he might eat someone, might eat me, and that would be bad, because then we wouldn't be able to finish the talk. So I'm a little bit stuck. Anyone got any ideas what we could do about this lion?
I could help you.
you could help me, could you? That's very kind of you, Anna, but I'm not sure you can. I mean, we've got a lion back there, and you think you can just sort of help me?
Yeah, no, I used to be a lion tamer, actually.
That's so sweet, isn't it? Look, Anna, I know you're just trying to be helpful and everything. I know there's lots of things you do, you sing and everything, but I don't think you know how to tame a lion.
No, I can tame a lion. I promise.
Does anyone here think that Anna could tame a lion? Hands up if you think Anna can tame a lion.
Oh, see, they're all my friends. They believe me.
There's a few people here who believe you, but I think they are the gullible types. Because I don't believe you.
How do you feel about being called gullible?
I think they're the sort of people who just believe things very easily. But I'm worried about you. It's a big claim to make, but I'm not sure I believe you. You say you were a lion tamer, and you say you can tame the lion.
Yeah.
I need you to prove it to me somehow.
Okay.
I think what would prove it to me, what would help me to believe, would be if you tamed the lion, then I would believe you.
Okay, deal.
Deal.
Right.
Good luck. Not quite sure how this is going to go, are you? Don't feel that good about this. Anyway. Oh dear. Anyway, do you think Anna used to be a lion tamer? Can tame lions? She said she could. But for as long as she's sort of behind the curtain, we don't really know, do we? We don't know what's going on. We don't know whether she can tame the lion or not. I suppose it's a bit like Jesus. For as long as he was dead in the grave, we don't really know. His followers didn't know whether to believe him or not. Was he really the Son of God? Does his death really mean we can live with him forever? Really? I mean, whoa! Brilliant! Okay, Anna, she said she was a lion tamer. She said she could tame lions. And look what she's done. Tamed the... Who believes Anna now? Thank you so much, Anna. You've saved our lives. I think what you need to do is take the lion back to Bristol Zoo. Jesus said he would rise from the dead. And you see what happened. Have a look at verse 6 of our reading. The angel says, he's not here. He's risen, do you see? Just as he said, come and see the place where he lay. And it's not just that the tomb was empty, but do you see verse 8? So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and they ran to tell his disciples, and suddenly Jesus met them. Jesus met them. Jesus, the Jesus who was crucified, is alive. And you say, oh, don't be ridiculous. Dead men don't rise. The whole thing's a kind of fairy story. It's the snail and the whale. No, Matthew's not writing a fairy story. He's talking about real people doing real things in real places that you could look up on a map, at real times that you could point to in history. He's saying this happened. The Jesus who was crucified one day in history rose from the dead one day in history. And these women who went to the tomb, they're not stupid. They know that dead people don't normally rise, but that's the point. What happened on that first Sunday was not normal. And Matthew, he wasn't stupid, but he wrote it down because he was sure it had happened. And down the years, millions and millions of Christians have been sure this has happened. When I was a student, and I wasn't sure if I could believe in Jesus, it's looking at the evidence for the resurrection that cornered me. It's the only thing that made sense of what happened in Jerusalem at that time was that Jesus rose from the dead. Now, there's not time to look at the evidence for that today, but if you would like to look into it, I've got something here I'd love to give you. It's a little DVD, a little film. It's about 18 minutes long. It sets out some of the evidence. I'd love to give it to you on the way out this afternoon. My experience is many people just write the whole thing off without really looking at the evidence. They just assume, well, dead men don't rise, so Jesus can't have risen. In the name of science, they say, I don't believe. But they've never looked into it, which isn't a very scientific approach to things. And I think one of the reasons they've never looked into it is because no one's ever told them why it matters. If there was some religious teacher who rose from the dead 2,000 years ago, well, that's weird, but weird things do happen, but what's it got to do with me? Two clues I want us to notice this afternoon. The first is in verse 9. Two clues as to why this matters. Do you see? Suddenly, Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him, they clasped his feet, and you see, and worshipped him. What? If you were a Jew at the time of Jesus, the only person you would worship would be God. They worship Jesus? And Jesus doesn't set them straight, because that's the whole point. The fact that he rose from the dead shows he was who he said he was. Not just another religious teacher, but the Son of God. Friends, if we're Christians, we sometimes wobble, don't we? On the days when following Jesus is very hard, we think, am I right to give my life to this man, Jesus? The fact that he rose from the dead shows you are right. He is who he said he was. When you see who he is, you don't just admire him or respect him or agree with his moral code. You do what these women did. You fall at his feet and worship him. The second clue as to why this matters so much is in verse 10. You see verse 10? Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to the Galilee where they will see me. My brothers. Jesus has said before that because of my death, he said, you will be able to live with me forever. And here we get a clue about what living with him forever means. Do you see? Here is the Son of God, and he calls his followers brothers and sisters. Do you see what's happened? God is his Father, and he's saying, you're my brothers and you're my sisters, which means God is your Father too. His death has made us God's children. And God does not let go of his children. So Jesus says, my death was not the end. God raised me up. And if you are with me, then your death will not be the end. God will raise you up. Now, do you see what good news this is? It seems to me there are many joys in this world, but there are also many sorrows. And what hurts more than anything else is death. Death seems to bring everything that's good to an end. But the fact that Jesus rose from the dead means death will not bring everything that is good to an end. Look at Jesus and you see how God is rewinding death. And it's a clue that one day God will restore all things. Everything that's broken will be fixed. Everything that's sad will come untrue. And every tear will be wiped dry. We, his brothers and his sisters, will be with him in his Father's house forever. We will at last be home. So if you are a follower of Jesus Christ today, praise God, Christ is risen. If you're not a follower of Jesus Christ today, can I ask, are you sure you want to walk away from this? What if it's true and you've never even checked it out? News like this, it's got to be worth checking out, at the very least. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we pray that we would have a clear sight of who you are, that we wouldn't be people who just admire you or respect you, but people who fall at your feet and worship you. Amen.